everyone.
Hello.
And I'm Silas, and this is The Adventures of Kayla and Silas, a podcast about everything travel. Each week, we cover travel topics that we find interesting and that we hope you will, too. Today, we have an awesome guest and friend, Devin, who is here to share information with us about study abroad. Devin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting.
I can see via the Google Hangout that you can barely contain your excitement.
That's very true.
So exciting. I know that you have a lot that you want to cover, but before we jump right into study abroad, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your travel background, and how you got into the field of study abroad?
Yeah, so I'm originally from central Iowa, so I grew up right in between Ames and Des Moines. I went to a high school called North Polk, if anybody knows it. But anyway, came to Iowa State, did my undergrad there, and I actually started by studying communications, and then I went abroad to Cork, Ireland. It was my first experience. It was for a spring semester. And when I came back, I changed everything, and I started studying German because I went to Ireland, and so that made a lot of sense. But
That makes sense to me.
So I came back, and I wanted to be more international, so I stuck with the German that I had been learning in 101, 102, and just turned it into a major. Then later, I did some more study abroads in Berlin, some summer programs, two of them, actually. And then I graduated, got a job, worked at University of Northern Iowa for a short period of time, and came back to grad school at Iowa State, where I studied communications again with my master's. And, you know, throughout that whole time, I was working in the Study Abroad Center. And then as a grad student, I studied abroad again. I went to the United Arab Emirates and went to Berlin again. There was another time I went to Florence, which I forgot to mention too. So anyway, I've studied abroad a lot.
a serial study abroader.
Exactly. And then, but actually, some of the most important things that happened in study abroad, though, happened at Iowa State. So like I went abroad a lot, but also all the times in between when I came back, I was working at the Study Abroad Center at Iowa State. And so that's kind of how I got started. And then, you know, it's the one thing that I just kept doing. And then graduation was coming up and I thought, okay, I need to get a job. And what am I qualified for? And I was qualified for study abroad. And so here I am. And now I'm at University of Arizona, where I've been, actually, if you can believe it, I've been here for 2 years now. And so, time flies. But I'm a program coordinator and I work with Italy, Ireland, and UK programs. And
oh, cool.
Soon to be senior program coordinator, if I can be so bold.
Oh snap.
I didn't realize we were talking to a senior program coordinator. I would have dressed up.
Watch out.
That's awesome.
So that's
very, very cool.
Yeah.
So your travel history, you've been to Ireland, you've been to Germany, you've been to
Italy.
I did.
Where else?
I did an internship in Swansea in Wales.
Oh yeah,
which
Swansea.
I forgot.
Swansea, you're a Swansea boy. All right.
I think you've heard of it, haven't you?
I've heard of Swansea a time or two.
Okay,
yes.
Sure. It's a little known
for those
place.
For those listeners who don't know my travel history. I have done a lot of visits to Swansea and did the same internship that Devin did. So
right. And then, and there was a real short one in there at the United Arab Emirates, which was a winter break program, which was very educational, actually. It was about economics, and it blew my mind. But besides that, it's been mostly Western Europe programs. So.
Very cool. That's a lot of places to visit, and not just weekend visits either. These are extended trips, it sounds like, which is a very different style of travel than your average vacations. So.
Right.
Let's jump right into the bulk of today's episode. First of all, Devin, as a senior, soon-to-be senior program coordinator, can you tell all of us and our listeners, what is study abroad?
Yeah, and so there's a lot of definitions for this, but I like to stick with a very simple one, and I'm going to say it's an international experience that involves education. And I want to kind of specify that education can be numerous things. It doesn't have to be a class, for example. You know, you can be educated in many ways and you learn a lot of lessons by doing whatever you're doing. You know, it could be volunteering abroad. It could be a short spring break portion of a class. So it doesn't have to be a whole course when you go. So I like to stick with this short international experience that involves education.
Awesome. What are some types of trips then that you see falling under those different realms of education that your office offers or that you've seen other universities offer? Because a lot of times, you're right, people will see it as, I went to take classes at this university.
Right.
But I agree, it is more opportunities than that.
And this is maybe a point that I want to bring up later too, that there's kind of this set thinking for study abroad where it involves programs, right? What's sure. the study abroad program? How do I find a study abroad program? And actually, it's really difficult to talk about study abroad without saying program, right? But it's kind of interesting to think about how they're different experiences. And so, like I mentioned, there can be whole trips or whole trips or experiences that are based around volunteering, for example. Or, you know, we both did an internship in Wales, which was, there was no class or credit involved, you know, it was a real world internship, but I think it's safe to say that we both learned some things there. We were both educated.
Absolutely.
So I would say, you know, a quick list is internship, research, and volunteer experiences that are outside of the regular course classroom type thinkings.
Well, and I think you already said this, but it doesn't have to be a semester long or a year long experience. It could be spring break. It could be portion of a class.
Right.
I did that in my undergrad where I took a 3-week May term class and the last week was a trip.
Yep. And there was a popular program at Iowa State, actually. I don't know if it's still running, where it was a history course where it was actually spring semester, but then over spring break, the whole class would travel to London and do things there. So it was like, wasn't this whole self-contained trip.
Was that through the honors program?
They have one on the Beatles.
Oh, that's right. The Beatles.
Right.
That goes to London.
Yeah.
Well, to the UK, I think more broadly.
Yep.
Right. So yeah, there you go.
So study abroad is education in another country. And we will, I think that we'll try and weave this in a little bit tonight. And while you're not necessarily an expert on this area, but there is also the idea of study away,
right?
Which programs like National Student Exchange, which is a program that we're trying to stay away from, but they
we're not trying to stay away from NSC,
just the word program. Programs like National Student Exchange that offer the opportunity to study at another university, which offers some of the same experiences, but
Within your own country or. Yes. Within U.S., Canada.
National Student Exchange is U.S., Canada.
Right.
But there are other things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I would have known about that. I would have gone somewhere warmer.
Yep. Yep. That's the way that they tried to sell it when I was working for that program, for sure. Mm-hmm. You can go somewhere warmer. So back to study abroad, though. Let's talk about for a second why students should study abroad and why they should consider studying abroad during their time at university, and kind of a piggyback question off of that. When should they start thinking about this opportunity?
Right. So, okay. I want to put like a little disclaimer on kind of the whole podcast, because the disclaimer being there's like standard answers for most of these questions about like, why should students study abroad and what are the barriers to study abroad? Right. And I don't mean to sound like cynical or something, but literally just look at any website about study abroad and you'll find those answers. So I wanted to try to do something a little different since we're talking.
Well, we wouldn't have contacted a senior program soon to be senior program coordinator if we wanted to
read a website.
That's perfect. So why should students study abroad? And really, the bullet point that I kind of wrote here in my notes is that it's really a necessity at this point. And you need to learn about the world, and you need to have this experience with other cultures and navigating other cultures specifically, just so you can kind of survive in the future. I mean, I have two stories about this. So, well, one story, but it involves two people. So,
okay. Well, you tell know, it from both
tell
the
me, yeah, from both sides.
I studied abroad, and then when I came back, I thought, this is really cool. I want to have an international life, an international career. And so I stuck with study abroad. But this is so that maybe the first time I'm admitting this, but I made a huge mistake because I had all. I had these friends from Iowa, you know, I grew up with. We went to kindergarten, grade school, high school, the whole thing together. And they're studying agriculture. They're at Iowa State. They've lived there their whole lives. They're doing a bunch of cool things. Then they got a job at John Deere, for example, or some other companies in Iowa. And what happened is right away, they're traveling the world. Like two of my friends, you know, they graduated from college, got a job. One of them went to Hong Kong probably like three or four times. And one of them went to Germany, like within a year or two of starting a job. And so it was crazy to me to think that, like, you know, I made this decision as a sophomore that I want to have an international life. And so I thought study abroad was the answer. But really, it's infiltrated everywhere, right? It's like no matter what you do, you can be from Central Iowa studying agriculture, working at John Deere, and they're still going to send you around the world to do things when you get in a job, right? And so I see study abroad as kind of this, like, it's a necessary thing to build skills that are going to pay off later. And these skills are hard. They're difficult because they're not hard skills. It's not like I know trigonometry or something. It's like, you know, I know how to navigate different cultures, talk to different people, solve a problem where we don't speak the same language. And it's like, they're soft skills, right? And actually part of my master's thesis, I studied this, and there's this hilarious thing that happens where everybody proved that study abroad leads to soft skills, and then everybody proved that recruiters at career fairs want soft skills, but then there's this one study that's like, recruiters don't know that study abroad equals soft skills, so like nobody knows. Everybody's in their own little silos, but they don't know that.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, so...
Yep.
So my argument to why study abroad is because you have to.
I love that.
Well, no, it's such a great point because the world is shrinking so incredibly fast with social. I mean, everyone says it. It's said on the news every day. Oh, well, a small world because of social media. We can hear. But it's so true. Anyone can connect with anyone from anywhere.
Is
and
exactly it.
Business is happening everywhere now. We want to keep jobs in the United States. You want to make sure that people still have jobs, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to be interacting with, like you were talking about with John Deere. They're interacting with people from all over the world. They have locations all over the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it really is essential. I completely agree. So
that's perfect. Yeah, so that's the main thing. And even if you don't go, I mean, you're going to be working with people from around the world, right? So, yeah.
And even if you can't do a semester, to do, you know, a winter break, spring break, 2 weeks summer break sort of trip.
Right.
An assistantship is invaluable in general. The jobs, this was the biggest mistake that I made as an undergrad, was that I did literally zero internships.
Oh, sure.
I was required to do one for my major, and I did it the semester after I graduated, technically. So right. I did it in the spring. Like, I would have graduated in the spring if I had already done this, but I hadn't. And so I graduated the summer afterward. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go get a job now. And everyone was like, you have zero work experience. We can't hire you. So... if you are looking, you're going to need to do an internship anyway. So why not do it somewhere that is going to give you these other skills that you also need?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And that actually brings up a good point. The second part of your question was like, when should students start thinking about this?
Yep.
And, you know, if you wait too long, you do run into this kind of situation where you're debating, do I go abroad or do I get an internship? And if you're at that...
Or do I graduate on time?
Or do I graduate on time, for sure. And if you're at that summer that's after junior year or after senior year, you know, the argument for study abroad goes downhill pretty quickly because you're thinking, I need an internship and I need a connection with a company and something. And so, you know, the earlier the better, really, when it comes to thinking about study abroad for so many reasons. Like the websites and the standard answers will say, like, because your academics and your academic advisor and financial planning and whatever. But really, it's because if you don't do it soon, you're not going to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
I studied abroad my senior year, but I also took a very unconventional route to choosing to study abroad. My girlfriend was studying abroad, and so I said, went to the study abroad office and said, what's the cheapest program that is still conducted in English? And they said, you want to go to Swansea? And I said, yes, I do. Where do I sign? And then I went to Swansea. So
that's awesome.
And you also said, where is Swansea?
I did after I signed. Yeah. I said, so where am I going? Moving on. How do you personally within your role as a program, I'm sorry, almost senior program coordinator.
It's okay.
How do you help students choose a study abroad program? Because that's, I feel like that is a tough question, you know, segueing out of my story of how I chose an awesome place accidentally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, so one of my favorite things to say in study abroad is it depends. And there's lots of questions that I get. I say, it depends. It depends. And so, you know, the way I try to help a student is by getting like a complete picture of that student before offering any advice. And so, like in your situation, if you would come to me and actually say that, I would have probably done the same thing. I would have been like, okay, that's great, right? Like, this is who the student is, and this is what he's looking for, and here's the program for you, and sign me up, right? But then there's the others, there's various types of students that come through with different needs. And so some of them might be totally concerned with location. Some of them might be totally concerned with courses or studying or their major. And so it's really like, it's really easy to kind of jump into, let's look at programs, for example, which is why I hate saying that word, or like, what do you study? And that'll guide us to the right location for you. But I really try to avoid those two things because you need to figure out like what's going on first. And so I start with just asking questions, you know, tell me about yourself. Where are you from? Why are you here? What do you do? What parts of the world are you interested in? And then from there, we can maybe narrow it down. And this goes back to that thinking about getting rid of this program way of thinking, because what happens is a student walks in and they say, I want to study abroad, but there aren't any programs that fit with my major. And that sentence like blows my mind. Like, because maybe there's not a program that fits your major, but, you know, I have probably 6 or 7 partner institutions in the UK that offer just as many courses as we offer here at University of Arizona. So like, you know, if you want to go there, we could find something for you for sure.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really the key, is you just figure out like, who is this person and what are they looking for? And then we can find a match for you. There's a million study abroad programs, which I'm going to end this whole thing with. So.
Awesome. Well, to waste no time then, we'll move right along. But to comment on that briefly, that is, I think, really important for anyone who is considering studying abroad or anyone who knows friends or family who are thinking, I might study abroad, but I don't know if it's, you know, if it's going to fit with my program. That was always the concern.
Right.
And even for someone like myself, who I chose to study abroad my senior year, and I still graduated on time, except for that internship fiasco that was my own fault.
Yeah.
This had nothing to do with going to Swansea. I was able to transfer back classes. And for the most part, if you are writing a compelling statement for why the class should transfer back and bringing the appropriate documents, I haven't heard of very many classes not counting. And the best thing to do with that is to go talk to your advisor beforehand.
Right.
Really, and say, here are the classes I'm looking at taking. Do you see any reasons why this shouldn't transfer back? And they'll say, well, I can't guarantee it, but yeah, it looks like those should transfer back.
And there's a big, actually, there's a big difference between, will this class transfer and will this class apply to my degree? And the answer to the first question is yes. Like, 100% of the time. Yeah, it'll transfer, you know, for sure. It's a matter of, is it going to count towards anything that's moving you towards graduation?
Given you do the work that the class requires while you're abroad.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I guess there is the whole study aspect of...
Yeah. Because I know I've heard some stories from you on that front.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you do have to get a C or above in order for it to work for you. So,
yeah. Yep. We'll save that story for another time.
Yeah.
Moving on to the next topic, though. What are some of the biggest challenges that students today face while studying abroad?
Right. So, okay, I want to tell you a story first about... Do you know what juxtaposition means? Mm-hmm. When, like...
I couldn't give you the exact textbook definition, but more or less, yes.
Like two opposites.
But go ahead and explain it for our listeners who aren't sure.
So, during one of my study abroads, I took a weekend trip to... I was in Prague in Czech Republic, and we did this nice walking tour of the city, which was actually very historical, very educational, and it was about communism and the history of everything. And then our tour guide explains juxtaposition to us, and it is the first time I hear the word. And the reason he's explaining it is because across the street there is a museum of history of communism right next to a McDonald's. And... so it's the perfect example of exactly what that word means. Anyway, so that's a fun little story. But back to the question. So again, some of the biggest challenges they face while studying abroad. So emphasis on the while studying abroad. And the first one is, it sounds ridiculous, but it's honestly true, and it's laundry. And
oh, yeah.
No, like, yes. It's impossible. Every machine everywhere is different from machines in the States. And so, you know, first of all, you're lucky if you even have one in your apartment. And second of all, it's usually, like, in the kitchen next to the dishwasher. And it's like, how do I even use this thing? And
Or if you're in a homestay, laundry's at your host mom's kind of discretion. And they have a lot more clothes than you do. So... you might need to go buy more underwear.
That may or may not have happened to Kayla on multiple occasions.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. To interrupt, to tell my story quickly about laundry before we move on past it.
Sure.
When I was in Swansea studying, not doing my internship, but studying there, I also struggled with laundry. We had one small, very small laundromat for the entire student village, which I don't know how many students lived up there, but
thousands
of students, and this one really tiny laundromat for everyone. And I get in there the first day that I'm trying to do laundry, which also happens to be the first day that everyone was trying to do laundry. And so we're breaking fire code just by people standing in there. And I look around and I thought I would make a joke out of it because it's a stressful situation when everyone's trying to get their laundry done so they can get back to do their studying or partying or whatever they were trying to do, but they needed their laundry done for sure.
Uh-huh.
And I look around and I say, oh man, you think they could fit any more machines in here? To which one of the students got frustrated with my American accent and began to berate me and go, oh, well, we're not in the States where everything is ginormous. And then he's like, I'm sure you think it's pronounced aluminum too, don't you? Rather than aluminium. And there were several other disses that were slammed. But then, of course, I intelligently say, well, of course it's pronounced aluminum. It's spelled that way.
I bet that went over well.
I went and looked it up later, and I'm like, oh, there are different spellings, and there are different words.
Right.
I need to learn more. Maybe I should have researched this place before I showed up here. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, laundry, man.
Laundry is a bear.
So, I mean, it's kind of a silly thing, but it is. Like, and at home, you have so many clothes, but you're taking a backpack when you travel abroad, right? And so you run out quicker, and then it's also harder to clean it. And so it's just the perfect storm of things. And you know, I don't want to discount, like, again, I'll say, of course there's like real issues, but you know, they're on websites and they're at your office and it's boring. So the other,
there are definitely long lists, and we started an online course for students preparing to study abroad, and we cover lots and lots and lots of topics in there that are more mundane, but laundry was surprisingly not one that we really addressed.
But it's a good example of how things can just be different and you're out of your element, and that one kind of menial task can set you over the edge.
No, that's a very important point too, is that, you know, it's a extra thing to do. And when everything else around you is already new, and then you have to do that extra thing, it does seem like a mountain to climb, basically, instead of just something easy that you don't think about on the weekends, right? So,
right. I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. It's something that you would expect going to study abroad, that this is something that can stay constant.
Right.
Well, I've heard food is different, and I've heard that the language will be a little different or really different, but I should still be able to do laundry just fine and shower just fine. But those sorts of things can be very different. So,
so I have another one, and actually this is kind of like a big one. And so it kind of goes together with the whole point here. And I'm going to say that the biggest challenge students face while they're abroad is they're very much like digital players, and they're trying to operate in this analog system of universities and education. And it is just super frustrating. And I mean, it's frustrating for me too. And I'm like part of the system, right? In this situation, like, and it's just a matter of, you know, it's a clash of generations, and there's a lot of things going on. And there's actually some really interesting reading you can do about, like, you know, how millennials are trying to make it in the world not designed for them, and how we're so mobile and we're so connected. And like, you know, most pre-departures are still telling people how to call home. Right. And which,
yep,
to anybody older than us, it's like a dilemma, right? It's like, okay, how do I call somebody if my phone doesn't work? But to people younger than us,
like, you have to go buy a calling card.
Yeah, right. And people younger than us, it's just like, it's common knowledge. I mean, I could call you with probably about 5 different apps on my phone.
Yeah.
And so it's like something I don't need
via Wi-Fi at most study abroad locations.
Plus every McDonald's and Starbucks in the world.
Yeah.
And so I have a really hard time, like, kind of dealing with this personally, because when I think of a university, I think of like cutting edge knowledge and technology and everything. But then for some reason, the processes and the system seem to be really far behind.
Ancient.
Yeah. It's a McDonald's next to a communist museum. And it's just crazy. You know, I can sign up for, like, a easy example is I could sign up for like a free trial of Hulu or HBO or something on my phone, and with PayPal and with something else, and with my fingerprint, right? But then you try to do a study abroad application, and there's a question that says, scan a copy of your passport. And students legit come to me and they're like, how do you scan something? And it's like, nobody's even scanning, right? It would be like saying, watch this pre-departure on your VCR at home. And nobody would know what to do with that.
Whenever they're asked to fax something to someone, they're like, what is fax?
I literally get asked like maybe once every 6 months to fax something at work. And I'm just flabbergasted
that it's still in
that
operation.
It's still a thing.
I'm going to look this up really quick while we're talking about this, because
important.
Because the fax machine, I feel like, was invented so long ago that we should have stopped using it.
Yeah. Was it,
or
like,
should have innovated at least.
When was the fax machine invented? Are you ready for this?
No.
A Scottish inventor, Alexander Bain, worked on chemical mechanical fax type devices And in, drum roll, 1846, was able to reproduce graphic signs in laboratory experiments. He received British patent 9745 on May 27th, 1843, for his electronic printing telegraph. Why? Why are we still using it when it was invented in 1843?
Well, and to be fair, I think scanning essentially replaced fax, but...
Nothing has replaced fax. Look, look, in every turn, they ask us to fax stuff.
No,
well, can you just fax
that
this
often.
In all the time? Every day. I'm asked to fax something every day. I'm surprised you get away with it every 6 months.
I'll stop asking you
That's
that.
Totally not true.
Yeah, then I'll stop asking me to fax you stuff.
What is your fax number, Devin? Because I had to call the office manager to get ours the other day.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay. Sorry. We'll get back on topic here.
Tangent.
No, but I mean, it is. So, you know, it's funny, though, because they're trying to do things in a world that was not set up for them. And the two things just clash. And one of my favorite examples is there's this like myth within higher ed and advisors and whatever that, oh, students don't read things. And it's. Okay, maybe they didn't read the 5-page policy on whatever that you sent them, but like, who does read that, you know? And
not adults.
And they think that students don't read it because they're, you know, lazy or they're students or they're something. But the actual reality of the situation is that we are so overwhelmed with information all day, every day. We've gotten really good at picking out what we need to know, right? Like,
yep.
The little bits that we need to know. So if you send me a 5-page policy and you say, did you read this whole thing? Like, no, I didn't read the whole thing. I read a couple things and signed it, you know? It's like...
Read through and saw that you're not trying to scam me. Yeah.
Yeah. So just different worlds. And I think that this is hard when you're traveling and doing all of this stuff and then you're up against the red tape of forms and applications and transfer credit sheets and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, not just in the university setting, but I remember going to get our visa when I studied abroad in Germany, and it was like this nerve-wracking procedure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really glad that I was in a group, essentially, that I didn't have to do that one alone, because I think that could have been intimidating.
Oh, it's very interesting to me. Kayla and my personalities are very different. She is very detail-oriented, is not overwhelmed easily by large amounts of paperwork, and went and studied abroad with very specific goals and was able to do the paperwork. I would imagine that none of this would be overwhelming. She's like, man, I'm glad I didn't have to do that alone. And I studied abroad alone, and then I did my internship alone, and I went and did all the paperwork myself, and the whole time I was wonderfully oblivious to the fact that it should be intimidating or scary.
Well, and I don't think that, like, the menial task of paperwork, that's not overwhelming to me. That's just a means to an end.
Sure.
But the point Devin's trying to make about how, you know, governmental or university policy is so detached from 2017 technological advancement. And then you add kind of the German culture of kind of rigidity, and it's just
for your study abroad experience.
Yeah, for my study abroad experience. I just remember it being very like, oh no, did I answer that question wrong? Are they going to kick me out of the country? You know, and that's, I don't think that's Germany's policy on students studying abroad, but it just felt uber formal.
Sounds like you made a huge mistake, Kayla.
Doing what?
Speaking of mistakes, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see students in study abroad make?
Nice segue. Sure.
And what advice do you have to help other students avoid these mistakes?
Right. So, okay, I made just a couple notes here. The first one I wrote down is that they do a short-term study abroad. And so this is Nothing
Explain.
Against a,
Tell us a, more about that.
Yeah, nothing against a short-term study abroad. I mean, if the answer is zero study abroad or short-term, obviously go short-term. But the reason I wrote this down is because probably the majority of students that come back from a short-term study abroad tell me it wasn't long enough. I should have stayed longer. I don't know what I was thinking. And so this isn't coming from like me as a study abroad person, like to go long term. This is coming from students who have gone short term. And then at the end of 4 weeks, they look around and they go, oh my God, 4 weeks is up already. Right.
Yep.
Right.
And so I think that's, you know, number
one.
And
from a money perspective, usually transportation is your biggest cost.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to fly to wherever, you may as well get as long out of it as you can.
That's exactly it. And so I think that's the first one. Second one that I wrote down is kind of the opposite of that, where I said, if you do do a long-term study abroad, pace yourself. Hmm. It's a long time, right?
Yep.
And so I made this mistake when I went to Ireland. And so I was there for a semester, and the first probably 3 weeks, I was so excited and I was so ready to be there and just having a lot of fun. And I spent a lot of money because I was like, oh, I'm on vacation, right?
But it's not quite vacation.
Right. And I was supposed to stay until like May 23rd or something, but right around April, I started looking around and saying, oh, I might not have enough money to be here. And so this is actually hilarious. And so I'm talking to my parents and I end up changing my flight because I do the math and I figure out that changing my flight is indeed cheaper than staying the like 3 extra weeks or whatever I was going to stay.
Aww.
So like this was like a real life consequence, right? Like I came home early from my study abroad because I ran out of money because of the first 2 or 3 weeks. But the day after I changed my flight, I checked my mail, and my apartment had sent me my deposit back because I was leaving. And so I changed my flight.
So you had the money then?
Yeah. And so my last week in Ireland, I was like, let's go. I'll buy you dinner. We'll do the thing. I was paying for everybody.
Living it up.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's Murphy's Law right there, isn't it?
It was.
That is true. I did a more programmed study abroad experience. And so many of our like weekend trips were pre-planned and scheduled in advance. And so we were kind of auto pacing because we just already had so much in our calendar for the semester that there wasn't a lot of free time to go blow money. And we were all in homestays. So a lot of our free time we were doing.
So there were fewer keggers is what you're telling me.
Yes. There were. Although I recall some beer at the host fam's house.
Oh, yes. A crazy one beer night. That sounds very dangerous, Kayla. Okay.
Yeah, moving on.
Actually, this is a good segue into the next mistake, and that is cultural like awareness. And, you know, it's something as simple as like looking around and saying, what's everybody else doing right now and trying to do that thing. And, you know, a big problem is alcohol, right? And so it's just more present abroad than it is in the U.S. And in the U.S., it's like this thing that you have to wait until you're 21, and then it's in Hollywood movies, and you do it in college, and it's a big deal. And but yeah, if you go to these, you know, European countries, you know, especially, it's like they aren't going out and drinking, you know, 30 beers on a Friday night. It's like they're having a beer with dinner every night of the week, for example. And so this,
and they're enjoying it. They're not drinking to get drunk.
No. And it's very social, right? In Germany, you go to the beer garden, you have a drink, you talk to people, you discuss politics, the world, whatever. And like in Italy, you know, we have problems with we visit student apartments and there's wine bottles like stacked up everywhere, right? And
oh my gosh.
Which I'm not going to say don't drink, obviously, because I was in Italy 2 weeks ago and, you know, you go to a 3 hour long dinner with people you work with and you have two or three glasses of wine and then that's what you do. But you're not stacking them up like in your apartment because, you know, you have too many to recycle.
I don't know. Speak for yourself, Devin. Yeah. You haven't been to our apartment lately.
You haven't seen our apartment. It's just wine bottles everywhere.
I'm gonna turn it into an art project. Don't worry.
So I think those are the big mistakes. It's like just paying attention to what's happening around you. Mm-hmm. And you know, and actually it's funny. I watched, there's a Netflix special for Trevor Noah. He does some stand-up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he said it's good to travel the world because you realize you're not that important and you're not the center of the universe. And so if you go to these places and actually step back and look around and you realize, oh, my God, everybody's having like a life and society and everything outside of me, you know, that's very interesting.
Humbling and it's a worthwhile reflective experience, I think.
I did want to circle back to mistake number two of pacing yourself and just elaborate a little bit farther on the idea of pacing yourself on activities as well.
Sure.
Because I know a lot of people will say, well, I did a weekend trip every weekend, and then I was gone from my study abroad location for the entire 2-week-long spring break.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a shortened class schedule so that it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And so I was having, you know, 4-day weekends traveling around other places.
I see the point you're going to make.
And you're not experiencing the place that you're studying at. You're on a constant vacation, which one helps you run out of money faster, but two also doesn't help you to enjoy where you're at. We did the same thing with my family, but it was a vacation. We went to Italy and we said, we should just, I told them we should really try and pick a location. Uh-huh. And because initially my family said, oh, we want to see the Eiffel Tower and we want to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa and we want to go to London
and Germany
would be fun.
And Australia and Japan. Yeah.
And we're like, well, we don't have time to do all of that enjoyably. We could go see all those things in a week, but you would not like it because we were just traveling every day.
For a photo. Yeah.
And so we said, oh, they said, okay, well, I said, pick one city and we'll stay there. And they said, well, let's do Rome because then we could take a day trip to the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, originally it was just the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
I was like, that sounds great. Well, then 3 of our 6 days were day trips.
We did.
Did we do
Naples, Florence, Pisa, Venice? Yep. But we combined Pisa and Florence into one day.
So we had 3 days, and then the other days were walking long distances in Rome to do lots of things.
Yeah,
and we were exhausted. But that was one vacation, and it was, you know, the week long vacation. So we had the luxury to be exhausted afterward and it was fine. Mm-hmm. But while you're studying, you don't want to make yourself so exhausted from all these trips that you don't have any time to focus on your classwork. And then you come back and you can't transfer back any credits because they're all F's.
But also, so yeah, you want to focus on coursework, but also whatever university or city or town you're in is amazing. Like, you don't want to be in a hurry to get out of it every weekend. I mean, you want to explore where you are, and that's an important point too, I think. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have 2 more questions here, and we want to try and keep this, not to let this run away from us this evening because our listeners
already
have
a late start.
We had a late start, and our listeners have a very short attention span. No, I'm just joking. Let me try a different segue here. Well, we want to make sure that we stay. It doesn't matter.
So
next topic.
So I'm sensitive of your time, so let's maybe move on to some funny stories. All right,
thank you, Devin, for that. For being I'm just going to leave all this in here because this is this is good stuff. The next question that we have lined up here for you is: what is your favorite study abroad story, personally,
right?
Or one that you've heard from a student or a colleague? Because there are some awesome study abroad stories out there.
There are some great stories. I guess just now with you saying that, I realized that maybe my answers to this are like not exactly what we're looking for, because I kind of went with like what is a funny story instead of what is like a great story.
A funny stories are
funny equals great.
Funny equals great. Hashtag yeah. Funny equals great. Hashtag great stories are funny.
So this is okay. I have one that's funnier than one that's just kind of more of a reflection of my time there. But the first one, and the funny story, is when I was in Ireland, I wanted to get involved in something. And so I joined totally randomly. I joined an ultimate Frisbee club on campus. Nice. And, you know, I just kind of emailed them and I was like, hey, you know, can I come to practice or something? And they emailed back and said, yeah, training's on Thursday. And I was like, what's training? No, I'm kidding. I went to training and it was in a gym, and
it's just like practice. Yeah.
Practice. It's practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's in a gym. The whole team's there. And like, I'm very obviously like American, you know, I'm huge and they're all Irish and like, I'm wearing like US gym clothes, which like cut off sleeves and stuff. And so anyway, everybody knows who I am. No problem. And
oh, you're not from around here, are you?
Yeah.
I can tell because of the way that you look.
And so I introduced myself to a bunch of people and like, you know, my name's Devin and they know who I am and I'm the only new person, but I'm meeting like 20 people for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're all Irish and they all have these thick accents and they all have very, very Irish names.
Nice.
Patrick very Houlihan.
Irish. Yeah. But like things I don't even know how to spell, right? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. And then there's a guy named Matt. And so he's Irish too and whatever, but anyway, we go through the whole training. They teach me how to play, they do the whole thing, and like at the end of practice they say hey, it's Thursday, and so every Thursday at this time we go to the pub and we all hang out as a team and we get some food and some drinks, you should come. And I was like, okay, that sounds great, let me just go home and get changed. And they said, yeah, just give me like, I'll give you my number to put in your phone so you can call us when you're ready. And so I'm like, okay. And so I get my phone and I type in his number, and then he's looking at me at my phone and I'm thinking, I have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
And I have to add him as a contact, and it's gonna be really embarrassing because I don't know what his name is. So I try to think of a clever way to like, to instead of saying, I don't remember your name, I try to think of like a clever way so he doesn't realize. So I go, okay, and how did you spell your name? And he goes, M-A-T-T. And I
totally been there.
And so
I've totally been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Silas is the worst of that stuff.
I'm so bad at names. And I just had a situation with a person today that I met them and had to work with them and call them by the wrong name, not even 5 minutes after meeting them.
Perfect.
And I was like, I'm an idiot.
So of course he knew right away. He knew because the Irish are quick and they're sarcastic and hilarious. So the whole rest of the night, he made a point of saying Devin as many times as possible to show that he knew who I was.
And thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
What a jerk, Matt.
That's funny.
He ended up being one of my best friends though. So I think it worked out all right, but yeah, it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. I don't know. So the other story I have, I'll try to make it a little quicker, but
Oh, you're fine. Take your time. We're good.
There's some things that happen when you're abroad that you like, you just need to get used to. That's totally different from the States. And one of the biggest things is like a pace of life, like situation where, you know, things are open later or things close earlier, or they just generally move slower. And there's this thing I discovered called Irish time, which I think is just hilarious. And Irish time consists of everybody being 10 to 15 minutes late everywhere. And it's weird to say that because it sounds like semi-disrespectful, but it's not. It's just the way things happen in Ireland. And the best example I have of this is that it happened to me. And this is how I like knew that I made it, right? Like, okay, I've been successful this semester because I was on Irish time and it was amazing. One of my best friends was actually another study abroad student. She was from Maine. And so she lived kind of down in the city center and I lived kind of by campus. And we said, okay, well, let's meet this afternoon and we'll hang out and we'll get a coffee or something. Actually, there's an L.A. Bagel in Ireland, which nice. Is kind of funny. So we went to L.A. Bagel and we're like, oh, let's meet at 2 or whatever. And so I leave my apartment at the American time to get there exactly at 2. And on the way there, I run into Matt, who we know from a previous story. And
yes, Matt.
And one of
I remembered his name.
And like there was another guy from the Frisbee team and they were sitting outside and they're having coffee, but there was only 2 of them and there were 3 drinks. And I was like walking by and I was like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, sit down, have that drink. And I was like, why? Like, what did you do? They go, no, they made the wrong thing, but we got 3 drinks. Like, sit down. And I was like, okay, cool. So I sat down, I had a coffee with them. They're like, what are you up to? I said, I'm on my way to meet my friend. Her name is Andrea. And I was like, okay. And then I realized that, oh, it's been like 20 minutes. And so I'm like, oh shit, I gotta go. And they're like, yeah, no problem. And as I leave, I text Andrea and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be late because, you know, I ran into Matt. And she goes, no problem. I am also late. I ran into my French roommates or whatever. And I was like, perfect. So we both got there like exactly 20 minutes after the time that we were supposed to meet. But it was because we had these like hilarious little small town adventures where we just ran into people and like, mm-hmm. you know.
That's fun.
Yeah. So I love it. Irish time.
Very cool. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Really enjoyed having you on the podcast this evening. We want to wrap it up with the last question. That is, what advice would you have for anyone considering studying abroad? And this, mind you, we are looking for the answer coming from
the Devon answer,
a program a senior, soon to be senior program coordinator.
That's perfect.
So that everyone knows the answer from that angle.
If you don't get that promotion, this is going to be really awkward.
It is going to be. Yeah. Maybe I just made it up and like director's going to listen to this. And be like, what is he talking about? okay. The best piece of advice I can give you is wherever you are, go talk to your study abroad office and no question is stupid and don't be sorry about multiple appointments or multiple emails or whatever. Like, just go talk to them because there's so many times that students are like, oh, I'm sorry, I emailed you twice. I'm like, okay, I don't care. I got 300 emails this week. Your 2 emails did not even register like on my radar.
As an inconvenience.
Yeah. And so it's fine, you know. And then also students are nervous by asking questions. They're like, this question might be dumb. And it's like, no question is dumb. I mean, it's like you don't know, right? Like I knew nothing when I started and like Silas, like your story, you didn't know. And
I knew literally nothing about what I wanted to do.
And study abroad offices literally exist to answer student questions and help them figure out what they want to do.
So here, and this is bringing me to my final point, which I really want the world to know, is that this is the big secret of study abroad.
Oh, yes, the reveal.
The big secret. Every study abroad office everywhere wants you to go abroad. I sit in meetings all day long, and like I go
what?
To. Yeah.
I was like, wait, was that the secret?
That's the secret. They all want you to go. It blows my mind that I'm in meetings and I go to conferences and the whole theme of all of this is how do we get more students to study abroad? And then a student will come talk to me and say, do you think I'll get in? And I'm like, yeah, you're going to get in. You're going to get accepted. Everybody wants you to. We're trying to figure out how to get more of you.
Are you still passing classes here?
Right. And so
then you get to go.
I don't want to discount the experience or anything, but the point is like, go talk to them because they want you to do the thing. Yeah. Right?
It's not this like exclusive club of people who go study abroad.
Right. Not at all. Not at all.
Very cool.
There you go. On that bombshell.
Wow.
The secret everyone has been waiting to hear the answer to from the program, nearly senior program coordinator.
That should be the new, that's the new title of the podcast.
I think it is. I think it just became that.
That's perfect.
And that's our show. As always, we ask that you leave any questions you have in the comments section below, or if you have a specific question, feel free to email us directly or connect with us on social media. Our email address is kaylaandsilas@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest by searching Kayla and Silas. Once again,
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Silas, wishing you luck with your upcoming adventures.